So some things to look at in skincare would be your post-treatment serums. So after microneedling, dermaplaning, radiofrequency, you want that speed healing and maximize that collagen response with it.
Hello, we're back with another episode, and today we're talking about the top three ingredients that you need in your skincare in 2025 and how they're used in professional treatments. And it seems like a big topic, like you need these in your skincare in 2025, but ingredients is one of those things with skincare where we're always, not we, the scientists are always researching and adding. So being in the know about it, even just knowing they're there and how you can incorporate them, that can be how you start off too. You don't have to bite it all off at once.
Exactly. It's just sometimes being aware what's out there, and maybe there's something in your current product line that is similar to it. That's the other side of it. I mean, one of them is a peptide, right? So, I mean, how many peptides are in products? Lots of different ones, but it's just being aware of what the hype words are out there. What's interesting with this topic, it's kind of coming from our wellness world or our holistic world, how it's starting to be incorporated into our skincare. But it's always been there. I think what's different is that they're highlighting this more so now because of the holistic influences that are out there today as
How do you
well.
mean it's
So,
always, how do you mean it's always
well,
been in there or been
okay,
there?
so vitamin C, for example, we know is healthy for us. So eat your oranges and your berries and all those things, right? Your grapefruits and whatever else that may be. We know that already, but I think they're just reminding us how our ingredients are actually in our products are still in our world of the health side of it, on the food side of it, if you wish, or supplements. And they're coming out now more vocally as a marketing side to help people understand why products are, you know, what products to choose, what to look for. And they're I think, I guess what I'm looking at is that they're the buzzwords are changing for us in this industry. That's a better
Always, right?
way to say it. Yeah. So it's always been there. I mean, peptides have always been there, but I think now they're highlighting certain ones. And of course, I mean, like you mentioned, the research is constant. And that's what I love about the industry. It's always changing. So then we can actually keep learning and growing. It can be overwhelming, but it just keeps us on our toes and hopefully keeps you on your toes, that you want to know what's going on. You want to stay current and on top. It's so important. I mean, we talk about how many people are going into this industry all the time, whether they're starting their own, whether it's the medical side, you know, tapping into it more so now, whatever it may be. Nurses are not being nurses in their traditional aspect anymore. They're coming into the beauty industry, right? So there's, I think these are the reasons why we need to stay on top of it. And why we do what we do, right, Doreen?
Absolutely. Okay, well let's actually
Dive
talk about the three ingredients. Well, there's three of them. We'll talk each one in we'll take each one and talk a little bit more about it, but can you tell us the three ingredients that we are going to be covering today?
The top three are the postbiotic ferment, copper peptides, and last but not least, the aptogenic botanicals. So it's not what you would think would be an ingredient per se. It's kind of a category, maybe so. The
And the, each
yeah.
one needs more explanation because it's like, what the heck is a postbiotic ferment?
Right. And people are going to know it when they hear it. It's that probiotic bacteria that we keep hearing about. The difference is it's not in this side of it. It's not the live culture per se, but it's stable and powerful. So the lactobacillus ferment lysate, for example, you've probably heard of these probiotics. I mean, you know, I remember taking probiotics many years ago after having a round of antibiotics from the health food store. It had to be stored in my fridge, and it was like 3 million lactobacillus, but don't quote me, but right. So it was part of the probiotic world. So when we look at this, it's supporting the skin microbiome and the barrier of the function. This has been big this last year for sure. Everyone's talking about this barrier function because we're doing so much to the skin now. People are doing so much to their skin at home. I mean, they can order everything online nowadays. They're trying everything they possibly can. they're jumping from different establishments doing different treatments, trying to keep going and trying to get that perfect complexion that they're seeking, right? Mm-hmm. But when we look at it, it's simple as like over exfoliation tends to be, it's creating that sensitivity, it's altering the microbiome of our skin, our barrier of our skin. And this is all about rebuilding the skin. And there's skincare lines that are completely focused only on this aspect, and they keep talking about the probiotics of the skin. And, you know, it's crucial to help educate your clients on more is not better. And I know I sound like a broken record when I say it, but we're such an extreme society today that we think more is better. So It kind of reminds me of, you know, going years ago that, you know, exercise, no pain, no gain. Well, we know that's not true anymore, right? So it's that same concept. I think when we come to skincare that we want to look at that. Some of the skincare where you will find these products, it's and why, like for toners, for example, or essences, if you wish. Toners are not quite the traditional old style toner was just about pH balancing. There's more to it. They're going to have more ingredients in the toners typically. And it helps with that hydration. It helps to, yes, in some degree to make sure that the pH hasn't been altered. Our water, tap water can do that depending on where we live. So, you know, or act like a pre-serum. Like a lot of times, you know, I'm teaching people with product lines or you know, technicians, it's like take it and splash it in your hand, splash it into your face so that brings that moisture in your skin's allowing time to draw the moisture in, and the ingredients that are in that toner is going to help as well. It's not just a pH balancer anymore. And hasn't been like that for quite a few years. Another aspect is you might find it in serums. So they're like a barrier repair serum. They're focused on that and they usually highlight that. So think, you know, after peels, after microneedling or post damage that's been done by maybe they're having medical medications being put on, right? So the creams and that type of thing are spot treatments. So it's to rebuild that skin barrier. Moisturizers and masks, overnight masks. You know, they're really looking at reducing the redness overnight, rebuilding and nourishing that skin again. But I think that's a big part. Is that's all about, you know, the probiotics, no different than we would internally eat or take supplements for that matter. But the big thing is that when you look at it, a pro tip on it, so look for fermented blends with ceramides or hyaluronic acid in them because it really bonds and works well together. The next ingredient on the list.
Before we move on to the next one, I'm just going to recap what are the benefits of postbiotic ferment in skincare. You said supports the skin barrier, right? Improves hydration, reduces inflammation. Did I get them all? What else was there?
So it's repairing the barrier too.
Okay.
It will help rebuild the skin post damage.
Promote like cell turnover. Strengthen the skin's immune system?
Yes, the skin's immune system. I think that's a better way of saying it.
Okay.
Creates resilience and reduces redness.
That's a lot. That's awesome. Yes. All right. What's our next? Next we have copper peptides.
Copper peptides. Yes. So well, we know what a peptide is, typically. Peptides, complex, bound to copper ions. That's what this is related to. It's naturally found in the body, but declines with age. That aging thing, you know?
Everything declines with age, apparently.
I know. That's why peptides, like people will literally say, well, I want a cream that has a peptide in it. So again, as the professional, you want to understand why they're asking these questions. We're just picking, you know, the buzzword of right now, I guess you could say, or coming down the line so people are aware, like this is why the scientists keep changing things up. So they've realized copper peptide is a great one. Why it matters is because it boosts collagen, elastin, tissue regeneration, and without irritation, like retinols, the strong acid. So that's why people, again, everyone wants that. We're still kind of on that train, I think, of the retinols, and younger people are doing it. So when I, you know, hear about the 18-year-old, 19-year-old doing retinol, you know, four times a week because they saw a post on Instagram about it. It's again, we have the power here to educate our clients and tell them the why behind. Your skin genetically, biologically is not there yet. You don't need that yet. It's coming, but let's not damage the skin to promote these other possible things going wrong for you. So this is what you can do. So this is a great option, especially for a younger generation, because it's not going to have that irritation, right? So I thought that was a great way, a leeway into talking about it, because younger and younger people are trying to do the anti-age world, or we'll say pro-aging. But I think this is something that we could, you know, bring into that discussion with our clients in the treatment room. So some things to look at in skincare would be your post-treatment serums. So after microneedling, dermaplaning, radiofrequency, you want that speed healing and maximize that collagen response with it. Again, we're not talking medical level here. We're talking your general esthetician. So we're not talking that 2.0 microneedling type of thing. We're generalizing this into our everyday esthetician. So we want to maximize, again, that collagen response. There's also, a lot of times, peptides are known to be found in eye creams. So for that firming, the other side is neck creams. I mean, we're forgetting about our neck and décolleté. So targeting that firmness and texture of the skin is how this one works really well. And again, you know, the leave-on overnight treatments are so great because they're just sleeping while they're getting something done to their skin. These little mini treatments you can help your clients with. So restoring that skin overnight without having the sensitivity to it. I think that's a big part. They're really focusing on trying to not that more side of things. Like, yes, retinols are great. Don't get me wrong. Of course, they have a place. For sure they do. But I think we're forgetting when to use it, how to use it. I don't think there's enough education going on to our general public about it. They're just following these pretty images and stuff.
It's difficult for estheticians right now because there is so much information out there and everybody becomes an expert. So there's the only thing that they can really fall back on, I would say, is just like from a place of just constantly educating on the facts and showing why and what you know. And then that's, I mean, all you can control really, right?
Yeah.
But this sounds lovely. I want some copper peptide.
Yeah. There's a pro tip for this one. So what they suggest is don't layer with strong acids or vitamin C. It destabilizes the copper. So I don't believe you would have to worry about this as a professional, because your scientists who developed the product would know not to do that. So don't think you have to do this, but so you can use solo or in a barrier-focused routine as well. So just to keep that in mind. I think this is the point of all this, is that be the resource to your clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I always tried doing myself, was that when they would see something advertised in whatever aspect that is, they'd be like, Suzanne, what are your thoughts on this? And yeah, it can be overwhelming, but I quite enjoyed it myself because it helped me see what they were noticing. They're my competition. Whatever they're seeing out there as you know, being advertised and whatever aspect that might be, it could have been coffee with the girls and what they did. It could have been a social media. It could have been LinkedIn. I mean, there's so many things. I want to know what's being said out there. So they're actually helping me without having me to go do all the research and keep looking all the time, because who's got time for that? So I want clients to ask me questions. I've always wanted that. So then I know. Or students today, right? Who are the professionals that are asking the questions, and I'm looking for it as well. That's why this came up too. It's like, what are the top ingredients? What's going to keep people, you know, going in the treatment room?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So what's our third is, let me see. Adaptogenic botanicals.
Mm-hmm. So this is really interesting. It is. And I actually thought, oh, this is so cool, because this is that, what's the word I'm looking for, that sensory experience almost, but not like from listening or hearing or smelling. It's more about, we take this from our herbs that we know are, again, coming from that holistic world of wellness. People are taking these supplements to help them internally as well. But what they're bringing into the fact is that skincare can help, because we know our skin will absorb to a certain degree mm-hmm. ingredients as well, right? So it's inside and out, we're always talking. So these are ancient herbal ingredients. They're not new to the world at all. They're very, very old. And basically what it is, it helps the body and skin to adapt to stress internally and externally. So you think environmental stresses, or, you know, if you had emotional stress, think about, you know, you've been feeling not well, you had the flu. Usually externally, you don't look well, you look mm-hmm. under the weather, right? So your skin's going to show a lot. So this is why they're talking not only internally, but externally with your skincare.
And it helps with like the complexion and like your tone, because that's usually where you look drab or whatever.
Yeah. And the thing is that people need to realize, and I think this is a good way to kind of help your clients understand, is that skin mirrors your internal stresses. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's a big part to understand, you know, from the inside out or the outside in, however you want to say that. But mm-hmm. we usually generally speak from the inside out. Because, like, again, your skin is going to be the mirror. It shows what's mm-hmm. going on. So these plants also support hormone balance, reduce inflammation, and protect against environmental stressors, which is kind of what we're after here, right? Yeah. Some of the examples, I'll get into the herbs of some of them that they talked about, but generally in skincare, so you think of the hydrating mists and toners, so they're going to, like, calm that reactive skin, prep for the serums or whatever treatment you're doing or what your clients are doing at home. The glow oils or the facial balms, that type of idea. So it's promoting the resilience in that dry or dull skin. So adding that, promoting that cell renewal. So it gives that nice radiance and to fight off, right? That resilience of what's going on with the stressors in our external side of things mm-hmm. and internal. And then multifunctional creams. So they call it found in neurocosmetic products, so targeting skin brain connection and anti-stress, that other side, that they're really discovering so much more than they ever really knew before. So when you look at the whole body generally, you know, when they talk about the immune system talking to our connective tissue now, like, there's so many things scientifically going on that I think if you look at it that way, you don't have to be into the whole body side of it, but just an appreciation to understand that and how it works and why products that you choose matter. Why do you choose the products you do, and how is it going to benefit you as well? So the pro tip on this one is recommending clients experiencing burnout, adrenal fatigue, lifestyle stresses showing up through their skin. So when you see people like that, you know, asking them questions like, well, and I think that big thing that your skin mirrors internal stress, you can help them understand better. So when you're recommending a product, this will help the glow. This will help, you know, give that radiance back to your skin, like that type of thing, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's where that comes from.
And botanic, like the adaptogenic mm-hmm. botanicals, that's more like a category. But some of the examples that would be included would be something like, I see like a lot of mushrooms like reishi, chaga, yeah. and mm-hmm. mitake. I don't know how to pronounce that one. Mushroom.
A big one, right? And they've been talking about this for quite a while, especially in the wellness world. Mm-hmm. Huge about how it's helping our immune system. It's talking to, and again, that, you said, the adaptogen side of it. Another one is ashwagandha. That came up through COVID. Thank you. And a lot of these are roots. Like, it's funny because a couple of them that they pointed out when I was researching this was they're all roots. And if you mm-hmm. think back, like ancient Asia, for example, or Africa, or wherever you're looking at, so much of this has been around for thousands of years. And now they're really just diving into how everything's going to kind of help with that immune system, you mm-hmm. know, reduce swelling in our body, the inflammation that's happening. More and more doctors are speaking about this. So much inflammation in our bodies, and that's from our food, our environment, our everyday stresses, like all of it has a huge part of it. And I think that's kind of why they're looking more into how we can support with the skin level as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other one was viola. Am I saying that right? Do you think?
I don't know.
And this one is found mainly in Russia. In that end of the world. And again, it's an adaptogen. And it helps the body, again, coping with that and adapting with the stresses, especially with the fatigue side. I mean, people are now looking at cortisol levels. That's an important thing to know with your clients, is like adrenal fatigue, cortisol levels, all those are signs that inside our body there's that imbalance going on. So it creates that stresses. A big one today of the topic is, you know, menopause. We're going to have to do a podcast about this and how it's affecting the body and the skin. Because we know so much more than they did even just 2 years ago. Yeah. It's just like on a full-fledged explosion of information now, which is almost too much.
It's a lot of information.
It really is. So we won't go to that. But, and the last one, which I mean, I've seen this in the ingredients before, is the five flavor berry, it's called. It's a type of tree. And it's, again, that whole idea of helping the skin. And how does it help the body? Well, it protects the nervous system, the liver, things like that. So if you look at how it's functioning in our skin itself, it's the same idea. So I know it's a lot of information, and I know sometimes you get overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. But I think if people just keep it, I'll say, simple, and think, oh, okay, well, what's one ingredient I could talk about this month? And just focus on that. Or what is the buzzword, or what's the trend, or what are clients asking you? So when clients ask me a question about something, let's say, well, what is this and what's that all about? Well, that will be my topic within my treatment room. Have you been hearing about this? Like, I'm doing my own inquisitiveness of what my clients are hearing out there. I want to know, what are they seeing? What are they hearing? And then I draw into, they're going to know that, you know, I have a solution probably for them.
Absolutely. Well, you shared a lot of really good info with us. Why don't you recap briefly for our viewers and listeners what the three categories, because they're within each one, there was ingredients specific, but what are the three categories that they should look out for?
Okay. So the postbiotic ferment, think of the probiotics, keep it really simple. And you can research it that way. I'm just giving you different words that you might hear that you don't know what it is. You know, Google's your friend. It was my friend. And then diving into that Google craziness. And then copper peptides is a big one, even though it's peptides have been around forever. But just focus on something like that and see, is there something that you have similar to that? Maybe it's in there already. You maybe don't even know, because we usually just hear peptides, but we're not focused on which type of peptide it is. Mm-hmm. It is naturally found in our bodies, but it declines with age. So that's a huge one there. Again, because it boosts that collagen, the elastin, and the tissue rejuvenation, regeneration, without the irritations of retinols, strong acids, that type of thing. And the last one was the adaptogenic botanicals. So think of those. Mushrooms were a big one, right? We've been hearing about that. And there's a few other herbs that are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't know, ask your distributor, your distribution educator, or whoever it is you're dealing with in the skincare, what do you have that fall in this category? Is there any ingredient? Because they should have that. And if they don't, they'll find out for you, because they might have to reach directly to the science side of it. They might not have that exactly right in your hands right away, but I'm sure that they can get into that. So again, it's looking at those ancient herbal ingredients that are helping the body and the skin to adapt to stress internally and externally. And that's why these ones come full forward into helping, you know, that, think of your clients that are dealing with burnout, adrenal failure, maybe, or fatigue, pardon me, general lifestyle stresses that are going on that's showing up through their skin. Again, that could be they weren't feeling well, or maybe they are dealing with something. Maybe they're not sleeping at night, right? That's a huge stress on the body when they're not sleeping. We don't have to make this a big medical, you know, diagnosis here. It could be simple. We know that if you're not sleeping properly at night, straight through, that's a huge stress on the body, because that's when your body heals. That's when your body rejuvenates itself to get you through the next day. And that's everything in your body, your brain, your circulatory system, your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your, you know, all your glands, like you keep all of your muscles, your skin, like everything. So I think that's something to look at with your clients as well. And finding your way of saying it and doing it. And maybe it's not in your vocabulary. maybe you're going to keep it simpler, and that's totally fine. But in your treatment room and in your posts, bringing this forward and helping them understand how it helps them is a huge component in the end to keep that rapport with your clients, keeping that level of professionalism that they look up to you with your knowledge, I think is another part. So they come to you for it.
Absolutely. That's amazing. If you have any go-to ingredients that you have been noticing lately and want to let us know, just share it with us in the comments or send us a message. If you haven't subscribed already, please do, and we'll be back with another episode. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.